I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, 21st of June. Our guest this hour is the author of an investigative piece titled 60 Million Car Bombs Inside Takata's Airbag Crisis, How the Company's Failures Led to Lethal Products and the Biggest Auto Recall in History. The first Takata recall was in 2008, and it was limited to airbags, she writes, in about 4,000 Hondas. The effort has been expanded 20 times, most recently in May, and it's the largest and most complex in U.S. history. It covers more than 60 million airbags in vehicles from BMW, Ford, Honda, Tesla, Toyota, and 12 others, one of every five cars on the road, and it could affect more than 100 million vehicles around the world. Shrapnel from the devices has killed 13 people, including 10 in this country, and injured more than 100. So how did that happen? What's in an airbag? Can airbags be made to be safe? Did they cut corners, this company? And how were they investigated? Susan Burfield is our guest. She's a writer for Bloomberg Businessweek and has previously written for Bloomberg News, Seattle Times, Mashable, Montreal Gazette, Bloomberg Markets Magazine. We'll be welcoming phone calls. Perhaps you've had your car recalled, or you may wonder about the car that you have and maybe it was previously owned and you didn't get a recall notice. We'll get all this information and find out what's in an airbag, how they're made, and what went so horribly wrong with this company. Our phone number is 800-488-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We're on Twitter, and that is @KDunnShow. Susan, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, our pleasure. Before we talk about Takata in great detail, I had no idea what the background was of airbags. You write that they are used in jet aircraft, this process, the burning propellant, gas created by a burning propellant used in jet aircraft to produce thrust, and they are incredibly complicated. Airbags are probably the most highly engineered among the 10,000 components in a car.
I think a lot of people will be surprised to know that, you know, the airbag works because of a controlled explosion. And, you know, as you mentioned, Kathleen, the explosion is, you know, propellant, and that propellant is used in, you know, in jets, in gun chambers. It is an explosive chemical. What happens in the airbag is that the chemical is compressed into a very small tablet, about the size of an aspirin. It's placed in like a metal container called an inflator. When the airbag deploys, the propellant is heated up, you know, instantly, and it is converted into gas, and it's actually gas that fills the airbag, not air.
Mm-hmm. And this company had used different kinds of chemicals, right, so that some of them were a lot worse than others.
Yeah, you know, all of the airbag suppliers try to find their own special formula. Takata, the company that we're talking about, came up with a formula that used a chemical that lots of other suppliers looked at and turned away from. And as we see now, that, you know, they made a fairly fatal engineering mistake early on.
Mm-hmm. And tell me a little about the history of this company. It was a textile company many years ago.
Yeah, it started out in Japan in the 1930s, owned by the Takada family. And after the war began manufacturing seatbelts for Japan's auto industry, which is, you know, leading the country out of the post-war era. And, you know, as the Japanese car makers began to grow and expand, companies like Takata grew with them. And it was actually Honda, which is Takata's biggest customer, that persuaded the company to start making airbags for them.
And when was that?
That was in the late 1980s, and by 1991, Takata was manufacturing airbags in the United States in Moses Lake out in Washington State.
And they chose that location specifically, right, for certain air conditions?
Yeah, you know, when you're handling any kind of explosive, it's good to be in a dry climate. Moisture and explosives react badly. So Moses Lake was an old Air Force base on the eastern side of the Cascade Mountain Range. And, you know, Takata originally started working with, like, a rocket propellant company, you know, to get a little expertise, then eventually bought them out and started with a chemical that a lot of the auto bag makers were using at the time. And the problem with that original chemical was that, you know, if it was inhaled deeply, it was toxic. Mm. And when it actually worked as it was supposed to in the cars, it left a residue. So a lot of companies began looking for a replacement for that.
So Takata looked eventually at every U-Rite chemical known to man, and they came up with one that they probably should have looked askance at.
Mm-hmm. Kept going.
Yeah.
You know, the chemical that their formula is based on is called sodium azide. It is a very, very powerful explosive, almost as powerful as dynamite. It was, one of the chemicals that Timothy McVeigh used to blow up the federal building in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were a lot of car companies, as I mentioned, that, you know, everyone is looking for an edge. And this particular chemical, you know, had a few advantages, which is that it was readily available. It was reasonably priced. And I think Takata felt that, you know, if they could make ammonium nitrate, the chemical name, if they could use that, that they would have also kind of made a real engineering breakthrough. And that, of course, is very appealing for any kind of company.
And then tell me why they did this. I guess you read your article and you think, oh, they did it because they could get cheap labor here and this was a somewhat dangerous proposition. But they moved their plant to Monclova, Mexico, where the workers were paid less. They had less experience with explosives and they had some problems at that factory.
They did. You know, a lot of car companies and their suppliers, you know, were moving to Mexico, as you suggest. You know, cheap labor is obviously a big draw there. I think what Takata didn't realize is that though there were auto suppliers there and workers who were there, but, you know, they weren't the workers who were used to dealing with explosives. And obviously that's a pretty specialized area, requires a lot of precautions. And in 2006, there was a huge explosion in the plant in Mexico. You know, there are videos of it on YouTube. You can have a look. You know, fireballs are going up into the night sky. You know, windows of homes nearby were shattered. People had to be evacuated. You know, afterward, Takata said that it wasn't the handling of the propellant itself, the ammonium nitrate, but the scrap. So kind of, you know, not the manufacturing process, but kind of everything around it, and that they had fixed those problems. But a couple of years later, you know, there were emails that we saw, and they suggested that there were continuing problems in terms of the manufacturing processes at that plant. And, you know, one of the supervisors sent a note in Spanish, but the translation was, you know, stop trying to fix the problems on the line itself. Like, if there's a problem, you need to remove the part. We need to investigate, figure out what it is. We have to make sure that doesn't, you know, end up in the hands of any of our customers. And, you know, we are having a very high defect rate. You know, something's wrong and we need to figure this out. So that plant, you know, is very important to Takata's production, but has also been very problematic.
And so how did Takata respond to this? Did they keep, were airbags from that facility still making their ways into U.S. cars?
Yes.
They were.
Yes. You know, the recall began in 2008, as you mentioned, but the first notice that there was some issue was in 2004, and there was a single accident. There was a report to U.S. regulators. Takata and Honda called it an anomaly, They thought it was just a manufacturing glitch in this plant in Mexico and that it was going to be resolved. The next recall in 2008 also concerned Honda. It was about 4,000 vehicles this time. And again, Takata said, it's a manufacturing glitch problem, but we have fixed it. And they assured U.S. regulators that they had fixed it. They also assured Honda, their biggest customer, that they had fixed it. As we now know, it wasn't only a manufacturing problem, though there were manufacturing problems. It was a problem with the basic chemical that Takata was using.
Mm-hmm. And then U.S. regulators began investigations in late 2009.
They did. And, you know, they say now that they were stymied by Takata, that, you know, Takata withheld information, provided inaccurate information to them. You know, they say now if they had known, you know, what they know now, that the crisis could have been averted. But, you know, Takata was confident that it had figured out a solution, you know, to use this ammonium nitrate, and that these were really kind of problems that they could fix with the manufacturing. It wasn't really until this year that independent investigators put all the pieces together and concluded that the real problem was the ammonium nitrate.
Mm.
Now, Takata understood from the very beginning that ammonium nitrate is a difficult chemical to work with and that it has certain properties that make it unstable over time. But they also felt confident that their engineers had solved for those problems. But it turns out not to be the case.
And that makes the cars more susceptible to problems over time, right?
Yes. So, you know, as I was saying, the propellant itself can degrade over time, and that process is exacerbated by heat and humidity. So the initial recalls all occurred in the southern U.S., in the U.S. Virgin Islands, in Hawaii, you know, places where the temperature is usually hot, where there's a lot of humidity. And so there's almost more wear and tear on the propellant itself.
Mm-hmm.
Those changes degrade the propellant. So rather than being kind of a tablet, it degrades into a powder. And a powder ignites more quickly and it's less controlled than if it's compressed. So when these propellants degraded and the airbags deployed, they deployed very forcefully, and the inflator, that metal container, would explode itself, and fragments of the metal came through the airbag, and that's how, you know, 13 people around the world died. The metal, you know, hit them in the neck and chest.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't Takata stay with this original chemical? You say it was based on a common chemical, sodium azide, used mm-hmm. from a formula the military had developed for launching torpedoes and missiles. What was wrong with that chemical?
Yeah, so that was, you know, that was the one that was toxic if it was inhaled for too long a time, left a residue in the cars. Then Takata found another chemical that was pretty effective and didn't have those problems, but was hard to get and was expensive. And so that's how they ended up with ammonium nitrate, is their third generation of propellant and the formula. So, you know, for every company, it's always balancing, you know, certain risks, I guess, though you would hope that, you know, a product that is supposed to assure your safety doesn't right. have any risks. But in this case, you know, they were making these judgments, and, you know, it seemed that they were mostly making them in Tokyo, and that, you know, many of the engineers who we spoke to here in the U.S. felt like they raised concerns, but those concerns weren't heard in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it ironic that this airbag that's supposed to keep you safer on the road turns out to cause death in some instances and serious injuries? I mean, who would have thought that when we were first putting airbags in cars?
I know, it's terrible. And, you know, airbags do save, you know, probably 2,500 lives a year is what U.S. regulators say. You know, they've been mandatory in cars since 1989. And, you know, and Takata's airbags are the only ones that are causing these problems. Nonetheless, you know, it may affect 100 million cars. It's a huge problem and, you know, really a real crisis now.
Right. Are there a lot of companies that make airbags?
There are, you know, there are about five globally, maybe three main ones, and those companies, you know, in some ways have been kind of all too happy to step up, and they, you know, they now are manufacturing about 70% of the airbags that, you know, the car companies will use to replace the Takata airbags. So, you know, Takata remains in business and, you know, has a commitment to continue production. They began adding a drying agent to the ammonium nitrate mix. And so that is supposed to reduce the chances that the propellant will degrade over time. But, you know, the U.S. regulators have also said that Takata has until 2019 to prove that that is safe.
Oh, my gosh. So it goes on and on. How can this company afford to stay in business? Don't they have to pay fines for what's happened?
Yes. You know, they have been fined by the U.S. regulators, you know, and what they said was the biggest civil fine. I mean, separately, the company is also being monitored, and, you know, that oversight, the agency said, is unprecedented. The company faced legal costs, which, you know, are hard to predict. And then there's the cost of the recall itself. For now, the automakers are bearing the brunt of that. Eventually, they're going to want to be repaid by Takata. And Takata does not have the money to pay for all of this. They hired an advisor, and, you know, I think they're looking to probably sell themselves, you know, there's a lot that remains, you know, that is probably being figured out. I think, you know, they hope to have something to announce in the fall, but, you know, some people have suggested that the total cost could come to $11 billion.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to welcome phone calls for Susan. Susan Burfield is our guest, writer for Bloomberg Business Week, and she's written a piece that is important to all of us who drive cars. 60 million car bombs inside Takata's airbag crisis. It may affect one in every five cars on the road. How the company's failures led to lethal products and the biggest auto recall in history. I guess after reading the article, I had no idea how airbags are made and how they have used chemicals in them that are really associated with jet propulsion and with military kinds of weapons in order to make the thing deploy. The chemicals themselves have turned out to be chemicals that can cause great harm. And it's a mess. The whole thing is quite a mess from this thing that's supposed to be helpful to all of us. So let's take your phone calls. Have you had a car that has been recalled? Is there a way to make a perfectly safe airbag? We'll ask Susan about that. And with so many cars still being recalled and with Takata having until 2019 to fix the problem, there could be cars being made right now that still don't have good airbags in them. Our number is 800-486-8655. Lines are open for you right now. 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show. KP did add a link to our Facebook page, which will allow you to put in your vehicle number to determine if your car is being recalled, and that is safercar.gov, safercar.gov. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tons of phone calls coming in. Let's start with Jim in Rice Lake. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Kathleen. Ours is one of the families that have already had our Takata airbag replaced, and we had to have a rental car provided by the car manufacturer for a month. And undoubtedly at great expense. My question to your columnist and our guest is, please have her correct me if I'm wrong, is not Takata staying afloat because of substantial Japanese governmental funding, and should this continue? I'll take my answer out there.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, that is often the case that the Japanese government does support, its manufacturing and industries. And, no doubt, they and some of the car makers want Takata to stay in business. I think, though, the most likely scenario for Takata at this point is, that either a car maker or some kind of outside private equity firm takes it over. I mean, so the Japanese government certainly has an interest in keeping it viable, I should say. But I don't think that they're going to come in and rescue it.
So when these airbags are replaced, they're replaced with what, Susan?
That depends on the automaker. I mean, Takata is continuing to manufacture airbags that have this drying agent, and that, is something that the U.S. regulators have agreed on. And also, at the same time, there are other manufacturers who airbags are using different chemical formulas, and, they're supplying some of the replacements as well.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't there some kind of U.S. inspection way back when we first started getting airbags as to whether or not these were safe?
Well, airbags don't have to be approved. They certainly have to be tested, within the company, and automakers, want to see the results of those tests. And, what our reporting showed is that, there's some question about, the testing that Takata did or didn't do. We have engineers saying that, they were never convinced that Takata had fully solved the problem of ammonium nitrate. I mean, Takata says it did, but that I think is an open question.
Marina is next to McHenry. Hi, Marina.
Well, my concern is that the chemical in the airbags causes a second to third degree burn whenever it hits anything, and this happened to me in 2013, and I lost a good portion of the skin on the top of my right hand.
Ooh.
What I found out later by going online and investigating this in the Journal of Emergency Medicine is that emergency rooms are supposed to flush the area that has been affected by the airbag for 20 minutes. This was not done to me nor to several other people that I came in contact with because I started asking about this. And I'm a nurse, and I got the process changed in my hospital and the hospital where I was treated. But I don't think this is a widespread policy.
And Marina, did you take the company to task? Was it Takata? Did you have recourse?
I did not. I tried to change the practice of the treatment in the emergency room.
Right.
Nurse that I am, that's what I was trying to do.
Yeah, Susan.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. That's a terrible experience. And, I think probably the problem is, right, people assume that airbags are, safe and are going to save you and not hurt you, and that's an important piece of information to share around the country.
Right. Well, and from what you just told us a few minutes ago, they are in many instances helping us to save our lives, but in other instances, they're hurting us.
Yeah. No. That is kind of the complex nature of the problem, and the fact that it is an explosive, right? Obviously. No one should be burned using it, but you can understand chemically how it happens.
Thank you, Marina, very much for your call. Ron in Green Bay. Hi.
Yeah, hi. Is this Kathleen?
Yes, Ron. Hi.
Oh, cool. I love your show. Thank you for putting it on. I'm a mechanic. I work on airbag systems quite a bit. And there isn't an airbag made that after a few years, especially up in Wisconsin in the salt, that in my opinion isn't dangerous. A lot of people disconnect them because keep in mind they're just a redundant feature. If you use your seat belt, and also especially if you have a seat harness, you are perfectly safe. The airbag is for people that don't use a seat belt, forget to use it, or God knows what. But they're a mechanical device, and in my opinion, they're a little time bomb. And as the cars get older, and they get exposed to the elements, heaven only knows what can happen.
Mm. I hadn't thought about that, people disconnecting them.
Yeah, it's not like if Takata can't fix your airbag, who cares? Disconnect it, you know, and of course there's laws that go along with all that. Use your safety harnesses, use your seatbelt, and you'll be just fine.
So have you seen problems when you are working with airbags other than Takata, Ron, in addition to?
Sure. There's no such a thing as an airbag that'll work perfectly fine forever. And, you know, Wisconsin people tend to keep their cars till they literally fall apart.
Yes.
You know, from the rust, because the engines and transmissions still work. But the rest of the car gets deteriorated. So, I mean, to me, an airbag is a redundant feature. It's like wearing, you know, two hard hats or whatever when one will work fine. You just got to remember to use your seat restraints. That's what's important.
Well, it's an interesting perspective. Thank you, Ron. Susan, what do you say?
Yeah, well, I mean, to his point about, you know, the airbags kind of degrading over time, you know, we've definitely seen that in the case of Takata. And, you know, the recalls initially focused on the older cars, you know, the older makes, you know, in part because that was before Takata began adding this drying agent. But more important was that, you know, as he's suggesting, over time with wear and tear in places with extreme climates, they can degrade faster.
What about his point that perhaps they aren't necessary, that if you wear your seatbelt, it's okay, you'll be okay?
You know, I really don't know what to say about that. I mean, you know, I understand. I guess, you know, I mean, that's a decision for everyone to make. I mean, for the drivers, they're required by law. It's the passenger side, you can have them turned off.
Thanks, Ron, so much for your call. Let's go to Jane in Phillips next. Hi, Jane.
Hi. I've called the dealership several times, and I've asked about my Honda CR-V 2012. I said, is there a recall on the airbags? And the answer that they keep giving me is not at this time. Shouldn't it be a yes or no answer? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks, Jane. Thank
you. You know, yeah, we would always like yes or no and definitive answers. The website that Kathleen mentioned is updated fairly regularly, and I think that is the best source of information for drivers. I think the problem for the car dealers is that, you know, they are still figuring out which models and which specific vehicles are affected. You know, the numbers are so huge, and they were just, you know, the recall was expanded in May, and so it may be that that's not why your car dealer or the car maker isn't able to give you specific information. But, you know, as is often the case, it's really up to and important for drivers to keep an eye on that website and to keep a lookout for their vehicle.
We've mostly talked about Honda, but it's Toyota and Tesla and Ford, and you say 12 others, lots of other car makers.
Yes. I mean, Honda is, you know, the car maker that was most affected because it was Takata's biggest customer, but right, the recall is pretty vast and, you know, varies, and in some cases it's the passenger side airbag, not the driver side. In most cases, though, it is the driver side, and, you know, the models and the years, it all varies. So it's just important for people to look, you know, with their specific vehicle number and not to rely on any other information.
And was it in your article, or did I read this somewhere else, that somebody has called for passenger side airbags to be disconnected?
That wasn't in my story, but I can, you know, I mean, I can see, and, you know, based on what the earlier caller suggested as well, people may feel that, you know, it's not worth the risk if you're going to wear a seatbelt. But, you know, we didn't report on that specifically.
Jane, thanks for your call. Lines are open now. They've been crowded. If you want to get through, 800-486-8655. Chuck is next in Wisconsin Dells. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I was just going to say, you know, when a firefighter goes out to respond to a car fire or something like that, you know, you've got side curtain airbags and frontal crash airbags and all this other stuff, you know, those things are pretty dangerous when you heat them up.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, at times when they first came out with these collapsible bumpers, in the, you know, where they a 5-mile-an-hour bumper or something like that, you'd go out to a car fire to start commence to put the thing out, and all of a sudden the bumper, you know, they'd explode and
ooh,
come off of the front of the car, you know. So, it, like you say, you got ticking time bombs inside that car or truck.
So what should we do about it, Chuck?
Well, like the mechanic said, you know, buckle up and get rid of them doggone airbags, you know.
You don't like them at all. You don't like them at all.
I think you know. To me, the seat belt is probably the best thing you could have, and why some people don't use it is beyond me. But they've never been in a bad accident, I guess.
Susan.
Yeah, you know, and I guess I would just say that, you know, I think what it kind of makes the Takata crisis all the more, you know, poignant and kind of terrifying is that many of the accidents were very modest collisions. You know, the damage to the car wasn't great, and yet, you know, people died and were injured. So I can see why people, you know, hearing that would think that maybe, you know, it's not worth it to use airbags. I mean, I don't want to be advocating that, but I understand where they're coming from.
Well, tell me, please, what kinds of U.S. investigations there have been into airbags, and if we need an investigation as to the safety of bags in general, go back to maybe where we should have started all of this years ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there are lots of people who would love the regulatory agencies to have more money, to have more enforcement power. They don't. So, you know, that's a bigger political question. I mean, you know, the agency that regulates the car safety, you know, they don't approve of, as you know, said, the airbags ahead of time. They kind of keep track of the problems afterward. That is the system that we have set up for better and worse.
Let's go to Chuck next in. Oh, no, Chuck was on. Thank you, Chuck, very much for your call. Kenneth is next in Janesville. Hi.
Hello. Farmers use and have used, I mean, ammonium nitrate has been around since before World War II from German, or World War One. I'm sorry. In Germany, and farmers have used tons of it since the 1910s. I don't understand why this is not happening with farmers and ammonium nitrate. I mean, we know what it does. And
Susan.
Well, I think, you know, the issue here is, you know, the specific use of it, you know, and the fact that, you know, airbags deploy in a very small space. You know, the explosion has to be very, very controlled, you know, very refined. The airbags are in the steering wheel. You know, they have to deploy at the right time with the right amount of force. It's just a very complicated system and a very, you know, complicated device. I think it, you know, it's different than how ammonium nitrate is used more commonly.
Whatever happened to that plant in Monclova, Mexico?
It's still around and still producing airbags. You know, Takata makes most of its airbags there. It still has the facility in Washington State, as we mentioned, but has shifted a lot of production to Mexico and has kept it there.
Kenneth, thanks for your call. We go to David in Rock Springs. Hi, David.
Hi. Thanks for letting me on. After hearing the guy talk about disconnecting airbags, I have direct experience with airbags, either a car with airbags, didn't have airbags. And I guess my point is that when you drive a car for a long period of time, the actual seatbelt restraints can also malfunction. So we were hitting a head-on collision many years ago, and my seatbelt shoulder harness worked, but my wife did not.
Mm.
And she was severely injured. She's fine now, but it had no airbags. Ever since then, we've always purchased vehicles and sure they had airbags. So anyway, just my point is just you have to, if you have an old car, you have to maintain all of those things.
But
I would not want to do without airbags myself.
I understand. I'm glad she's okay. But, David, don't you worry that these airbags may not be safe either? They're supposed to make you safer.
Yes. I'm real concerned. I actually did call my dealer today, and I did schedule to have it replaced, but they couldn't guarantee when it would be coming in. They did say it should be within a month, so I'm hopeful that that helps everyone, but I do really question the safety of these airbags now. So.
Susan, thank you very much, David. Susan, how much do you question the safety of the replacement bags?
Well, you know, if they're coming from Takata and they have the drying agent, they haven't been proven to be safe. It's possible that, you know, by 2019, Takata won't have proven that that's safe enough and that there will be additional recalls. You know, the U.S. regulators have been pretty upfront about that. To the issue of, used cars, you know, there are an enormous number of used cars on the roads in our country. And, as much as possible, it is really important to, kind of keep up maintenance as best you can. I mean, some things, airbags you don't see, you can't check. But, that has been a problem in terms of the recalls themselves because used car dealers are not required by law to tell a new buyer about recalls of any of the parts in the car. So, if you're buying, a used car, you should do your homework before because the dealer isn't necessarily obliged to tell you everything that could go wrong with the car.
And in terms of getting the car fixed, if you bought a used car, can you go to any dealership and the cost will be taken care of or not?
If the car has been recalled, then, yeah, the car dealers are absorbing the cost.
Now, here's what isn't making sense to me at all. So you've got one of these cars, you get the notice, you bring it in for a recall, but the replacement airbag that you may be getting has not been tested to see if it's going to be safe, and the test won't be done until 2019. Is that right?
Yeah, it seems a little crazy.
It's crazy.
I understand that, and the problem is really it's a short-term fix, and what the independent investigations have shown is that the ammonium nitrate with the drying agent doesn't begin to degrade immediately.
Right.
That after about 6 or 7 years, it can become unstable. So the regulators and the car makers and Takata are, taking a little bit of a risk putting in, airbags still using ammonium nitrate with the drying agent for sure. And come 2019, it may be that all of those cars need, new airbags that don't have ammonium nitrate at all.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to welcome more phone calls. We're talking about 60 million car bombs inside Takata's airbag crisis, how the company's failures led to lethal products and the biggest auto recall in history. Our guest this hour is Susan Burfield. She's a writer for Bloomberg Business Week, and she wrote this article that we are talking about and welcoming phone calls, too. Our number is 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org, Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Back to phone calls, 800-486-8655. Tim in Kenosha, hello.
Hey, a couple of the gentlemen callers who called in. I'm an accident investigator, and I've been in the automotive trade for 40 years as a mechanic. I also have an electrical engineering degree, and I deal with this kind of situation all the time. It's scary, but you need to use a seatbelt with an airbag. There are actual labels on every single visor that you put your sunglasses on, your little sun visor. You pull that down, there's a warning saying do not trust the airbags. Use your seatbelt in conjunction with the airbags. It will be much safer. Regardless of what Takata is going through right now, no one figured that these bags would be in these cars for this long. People keep their cars forever. And it really doesn't have anything to do with Takata making a terrible decision. Ammonium nitrate does degrade, but most used cars are about 8 to 10 years old, and that's when this occurs. Everybody else is using a different substance that's great, but the fact is, how long are companies supposed to be liable for these products? And, you know, people are pretty ignorant about what they're riding around in. And I've been an EMT also. I've been in a rescue squad. I peeled people out of cars, and I can tell you that without an airbag and with a seatbelt, I've seen them malfunction, but for the most part, they save a ton of lives. The injury rate's way lower. The National Insurance Institute tests this stuff all the time, and cars with airbags are far safer than any car with just a seatbelt. And it's just the way it's always been. I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks, Tim, for the call. Susan?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, an excellent point. I mean, you know, there was a time when there were no airbags, and, you know, because of testing, they decided that, you know, it's better to have them. Takata is one manufacturer. The other ones are fine. And, you know, I think he's right. You know, the U.S., there's a lot of old cars on the road. And, you know, a manufacturer, you know, remains liable, but it's also true that, you know, the average age of the vehicles on the road is increasing for U.S. drivers. And so that, you know, that does bring risks of all kinds. You know, it could be the seatbelt, you know, it could be the airbag, you know, something else. But it just, you know, consumers have to be aware.
Well, and consumers should also be made aware that the life of this airbag is only 8 years, or it's 7 years. After that, you can experience some problems that may result in your being injured. There is no warning like that, is there? Nobody knew that.
No, I mean, this is really, you know, these investigations just concluded recently, and it's, you know, one of the reasons that we chose to look into this now is because there seemed to be a consensus about what the cause of the problem was and a rough time frame, and, you know, it's very important for people to understand this.
Let's go to Wayne in Lafarge. Hi, Wayne.
Hi. Just wanted to relate a story that I know actually, and I can't give you a lot of details about it because it was a settlement out of court with my my daughter-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was that an airbag went off. This was about, oh, I think 10, 12 years ago. And as a result, anyway, this airbag went off in very slow traffic. It was like, oh, 5, 10 miles an hour just creeping along. And the airbag went off, you know, explosively, a lot stronger than it should have. And that obviously came out in the courts because they had a settlement with the car company. And anyway, you know, as a result of this going off, she lost most of her hearing in one ear, and she lost sight in one eye.
Oh.
And this was at very low speed. So it's a, you know, actual story I can pass along there. I don't claim to be an expert, you know about it, but I do know this personally. So that's a story.
Yeah.
I just curious how many of those settlement out of courts type of thing happen, or, you know, what the situation is. I don't think you can get statistics on that, but
yeah.
Just passing along my story.
Thank you, Wayne. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, no, I mean, he brings up a really, you know, interesting and troublesome part of this, which is, you know, most of the accidents that resulted in people dying were low-speed collisions, as I mentioned. And, you know, the airbag, you know, should have deployed, but obviously not with the force that it did. And, you know, because most of the deaths occurred from the metal fragments, you know, kind of, you know, slicing necks and chests, many of those have been settled out of court, and the terms are confidential. As he was saying, you know, a few cases have not been settled, you know, either because Takata and the car maker, you know, haven't offered, or the injured people haven't accepted the offer. And that has allowed lawyers for the plaintiffs to, you know, to do their discovery, meaning to collect documents from Takata, internal confidential documents. And much of what we know about what was going on in Takata have come out because of those lawsuits that are still pending. And so, you know, I think that's been important. You know, oftentimes companies settle. Obviously, they don't want the expense of going to court. They may understand in this case, you know, metal fragments, they could have come from no other place than the airbag. And oftentimes, you know, the people who have been injured want to settle and be done with it, move on. But it has, you know, has deprived journalists, but others, you know, of information about what's really been going on.
Sure. What about other countries? Are there recalls in other countries? Do other countries have more of a regulatory process before these kinds of devices can be put in cars, Susan?
Yeah, there are recalls underway in Japan and China, Takata is a global, you know, global manufacturer. It works for a lot of global companies, car companies. So, you know, we're keeping an eye on what's going on elsewhere. Those are the two that have been announced so far. And, you know, one thing I would mention is we also, in our reporting, spoke to someone who had been an executive in Europe for Takata in the mid-2000s. And he, you know, was very worried about the ammonium nitrate formula that Takata was using and, you know, tried to push back, really wasn't able to. So he hired some engineers of his own, and they came up with another formula based on another chemical. And, you know, Takata in Europe uses that formula in addition to the others. And so there is now an alternate formula that Takata could potentially adopt worldwide.
More expensive?
I don't know for sure, but it probably, right. But I don't know for sure.
Wayne, thanks for your call. One more call. 1 minute left in the show. David in Northeast Iowa. Hi.
Hi. If you disconnect these, are they still hazardous if you leave them in the car, the actual unit?
Oh, you know, I'm not an engineer, but as I understand it, it wouldn't be a problem because in a few cases, Toyota was even advising passengers to potentially to do that, or, you know, for the passenger side, or to, you know, to if you had to have a passenger in the front seat, that it was possible to disconnect them. So I think that does solve the problem, but I would check with somebody else.
Yeah. Well, Susan, thank you very much for your reporting on this issue. I would imagine that some of it is frustrating because you think this is a problem that didn't need to happen if people had listened to the warning signs, right?
Sure. Yeah, it's always a terrible thing to come across.
Thank you. Susan Burfield, our guest, her piece is 60 Million Car Bombs Inside Takata's Airbag Crisis, How the Company's Failures Led to Lethal Products and the Biggest Auto Recall in History. She writes for Bloomberg Business, and that's where this piece is featured. KP has put a link on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and you can go to that, put your vehicle ID number in to determine if your car's airbag is being recalled, which you may want to do after listening to this show. It's safercar.gov, safercar.gov. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing this hour and to KP for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. News is coming up from National Public Radio, and then Thomas Frank will join us. What's the matter with Democrats? Listen Liberal is his latest book, Whatever Happened to the Party of the People. He says they are surrounding themselves by people who all went to elite institutions and have forgot their core obligations to the working people of this country. Thomas Frank after the news.